Ian had explained to us last night that the Armageddon happened a week ago, the big one. There was a big problem where the world was going to be zapped completely. So we had to ask Ian how to solve it, and he told us how to solve it, and we saved the world last night. So as a result, lockdown Bob Rule is, you know, the only thing left now. So that's why all activities flow through my quadrant.
Bob, did you save the world from your home, or did you and Connie have to leave the house?
We had to tell somebody what to do. They had to switch something. Ian actually referred to it right in there, in the middle of the long Ian thing. He said, technically, he described it right there, right in front of you guys.
He described what you and Connie did last night?
The problem. Ooh. He described the problem. That was the Armageddon last week.
And when did he do that? In the first 2 hours?
No, you know, seventh hour or something, way back there. Yeah, I'm not going to say, because I was told not to talk about it last night in any detail. But, you know, Ion, he gets carried away with being electrified and having an audience, so he just starts spilling the beans. He's done that several times now. And he did it again. Cam was pretty pissed off. She just listened and watched to see how far he'd take it. And I am backed off. But he gave the basic.
And you can't repeat it?
No, I'm just saying, I hope no one goes and looks for it. Everybody's going to listen to the, you know, they're going to go listen to the archives, go through the whole thing, and then they're going to come to this ninth hour, and they're going to hear me say this, and they're going to say, oh, damn, I heard that. Where was that? Then they have to go back and find it. That'll be a headache, and they won't do it. Now, Bert will do it. Bert, you can count on Bert. Just keep showing up every week, and then Bert will announce it at some point.
Did you know that things were at a critical element?
Yes, we knew what was going on last week, and it wasn't being solved. We didn't know whether it was solved or not. It's just like a fringe episode. So last night we asked if it was being solved, and Ian said no. Then we asked Ian, well, how do we solve it? And then after fucking around for an hour or two with bullshit crap, like Ian's normal procedure, then he just told us. A lot of mind games, and then he just tells you. And he told us, and so we passed it on to the relevant people, and the switches were done, and you guys are alive today to surf tomorrow.
How widespread would the damage have been?
The whole world would have disappeared, really. This Earth, or whatever the world is, Ian said, your world would have been totally destroyed. Now, during the Armageddon, the last 2 weeks have been fantastic, amazing events happening around the world that will be great fun to explain in 10 years or something what actually happened. As Ian said, it was a combination of Fringe, the smoke monster in Lost, and a third thing might have been a Doctor Who scenario. I'm not sure what, I can't remember what the third thing was. But it was a combination of the smoke monster, Fringe, you know, parallel world battles, and something else. And so we could give you actual chapter and verse of these events that nobody wants to discuss right now. Nobody. The media, nobody. They're too scared to say it.
So these were events that were going to happen?
No, they did happen 3 weeks ago. And so the crisis built for a couple of weeks. And then it got out of hand last week, and then we lived through the crisis, and then we asked, is it over? And I said, no, one more thing has to be done. And if nobody did it, our world would be destroyed, you know, in the next couple of days. So we found out what to do, thanks to my persistence. Connie didn't care. She didn't give a fuck about anything. Just wrote her next blog. And so I led the charge. I stuck to my guns. I went through the fucking 2 hours of bullshit, crap, joking, singing, YouTube playing, quoting Nigger Wanted. That was uttered about 1,000 times. Ian just loves that song. And then we broke through. Ian gave in. I had pinned him to the wall, and he finally gave. And he said, you just do this, this, and this. It was that simple. This, this, and this. So we finished the session, called up the people, told them what to do, and as I said, you are free to surf tomorrow because of that. Now, this sounds totally ridiculous, and cult talk, but in a few years, you'll be even more shocked when you find out it really did happen. That's going to be hard for you people to handle this once it all becomes obviously true.
Why do we have to wait?
I don't know. Don't know why we have to wait. Just I said, Ian, can I talk about it tomorrow? No. Probably because he lost the battle. That's why he's pissed off. You know, he didn't want to admit that I got it out of him.
I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, what is it then that, because it seems like there are certain things.
I don't live fantasy, Evan. I wouldn't be saying this if it didn't happen. I don't like that kind of fantasy world or making up stuff.
Of course, what I'm saying is the idea that sometimes when we ask things of Ion, he's like, oh, why do that, da, da, da. It's just going to go, you know, get happy or get out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you feel that he was resisting because this was the trajectory?
Resisting what? Resisting what?
We were resisting whatever's coming. Did you start a new timeline with the work that you did?
Well, you know, that's the thing about the tiny note chart. That will be the history of the 1960s, 1990 period, you know, in a few decades. That'll be what people thought happened, even though every one of them was not given much coverage, really, in their day. LaRouche, May Brussel, Beter, McLuhan, Zappa, Thompson, Krishnamurti, Garrett Dean, myself. So all that will become, you know, people say, oh, yeah, there was Shakespeare, there was Alexander Pope, there was Beethoven, Mozart, and then there was Dobstown. That's how it'll be remembered. And the key figures will be the holy offices. So we're changing the remembrance of how we got here.
Okay.
It's a major MKUltra, if you want to be paranoid about it, a major collective MKUltra program to change people's understanding of how they got here. No, we need Bert to review what just happened in the last 15-minute conversation. Bert, you know, he can bring in the parameters of what was serious, what was not so serious, what was relevant to what I said. Can you give an analysis, Bert, of what we just talked about?
Like, Bob, he makes a lot of jokes, but when he was very serious about the Armageddon, I could tell that.
Good. See, Bert knows, Evan. He knows the nuance, the tones. He knows what's real, what isn't.
Because he has to put out big news in a very jokeful way, and the way he outlined it, if you really listen enough, he really says something very serious.
Yes.
I've already logged it. Armageddon explanation, 4th of October, 2014.
See that, Evan? See that? This guy, he pays attention. That's why he knows what's naughty and what's nice and what's right, and he can say what I said, and he's exactly right.
This is the new environment, and Bob brought it in, so you got to listen between the lines of what Bob says.
Ion yelled at me for many years, Bob, you will not keep it to us. You will tell people. I'm not going to tell anybody. Yeah, well, why would I tell anybody? And he's, no, you will. Am I telling people? Maybe too much. I don't know. But I try to follow what I think is Ion's preferences. But I also like to imply so that you guys can get a taste of what's going on. Because it is hard to have people know what's going on.
Was there a new timeline established?
Oh, yeah, that's why I said the 60 to 90. I don't think it's a new timeline because there's no times. It's just a bigger now. But as people's minds look back, they'll look at the timeline that my chart shows from 60 to 90 as the fact, as the historical sequence of events that led to us. Because you can't go from what we know the Enron meme says over the last 40 years. You can't go from there to Bob and Carolyn Maui saving the world. It doesn't compute, right?
Right.
Talking to jokers, the fucking con men who sell snake oil and never worked a day in their lives and know nothing about science. How did they pull this off, see? So we're rigidly setting it in for the minds of the young kids who come in and require, you know, 6 degrees of separation when they're young. That's what education is. They want to know why, how, what did Bob do, you know? So you make a mythology for them. All culture is a mythology for the kids. The actual sense that people won't find ion surprising, and they wouldn't require interacting with ion. Though I say things have changed, and even they and the 418 group will be forced to interact with ion. And that's what we discussed last night, how the 418 group, where they encountered me secretly in my trip in Europe. I asked ion, so when did the 418 groups, who keep nervously keep their distance from us, they monitor me and Carolyn more than JW9 because our names are on the ownership stuff. See, JW doesn't own anything. That's where Matthew Hurtado is wrong to say he's doing business with JW. JW is not involved with any of our products as a board member or anything. That's why his name is only on the patent, and it's not even his real name, but it's a name that's accepted. His name is on the patents because we couldn't put Ion's name on there. So even JW is a substitute on the patent. So the 14 groups are saying, uh-oh, this is getting way out of hand. This is not what we as ascended people, or think they're ascended, don't have to pay attention to little men. But Dobbs is stirring things up so much, we're actually going to have to be more involved on an equal level playing field. I asked Ion, do they interact with me at any point on the trip in Europe? And they said, yep. And he names this scenario, which is like typical Ion. It's totally bang on. You know, he couldn't have made it up. So I will describe what my experience was, then make the punchline. So I think, it was in Berlin. When I flew from Berlin to Geneva, that was the next leg after being with Roxana for a week, I'm sitting there in this little, it's a very small, weird airport, or the part I was in, little alleyways, and there was this little bar, but a wooden kind of old-fashioned bar, and there was, 35-year-olds, two women and a guy, and maybe some children, and they were sitting there, and I'm leaning up against the wall, looking around, saying, how can I stir up some shit here? I've got to wait 25 minutes, so I said, okay, I'll call Carolyn on my iPhone, which I'd never done in a public place, really, because I was just learning how to use it. So I called Carolyn, get her on the line, and so I start talking loudly to her, ionic stuff. I finally got the couple and their family's attention. They were looking at me and whispering to themselves, who's that idiot over there? What's that fucking nut? And so I then looked at them and I said, look at this. I walked over and showed them Carol. And I said, now, isn't that one fucking beautiful babe? So I showed them Carol, who's on the iPhone Skype, right? And the husband's there trying to, well, no, my wife's prettier than her. You know, he has to maintain 22 proportionality, right? 2 A is to B, is C is to D. And I said, now she's in Hawaii and you're not. She's in Maui and you're not. You're stuck in this stupid little airport in Berlin of all people. So I was sort of mocking them. But they were nice and they laughed and they thought it was odd that I was doing it. I get away with this stuff all the time because it looks pleasant. And so eventually I stopped and then everybody went back to ignoring each other. And we waited to get on the plane. So that happened and I forgot about it. So I'm asking Ian, when did the 418 group interact with me? And Ian goes, remember that bar in Berlin at the airport? He nails it. He says exactly that scene. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
They're not even a good psychic could be that pinpoint. Just, I go, you mean those people I did the iPhone and they were 418 group? He says, that damn right they were. So they were waiting to observe me. So I actually, what is it? I got suckered by them, or
yeah.
Why did I pick them? They made themselves be noticed. And so I said, well, what was their goal in wanting to watch me and interact with me? And they said they wanted to see if you were real. See, that's what the 418 group, they can't figure out whether Carol and I are real or not.
Was this a family or a couple?
It's a nice hip couple with a couple of kids and another girl, probably the guy's mistress or something. I think there were one guy and two women and two kids, 5 people. Nice, happy, hipster people, probably open marriage and all that, you know, that kind of scene. Europeans, remember Europeans allowed to have mistresses, right? Or at least the old guys were allowed to. So very nice people, and they had a good sense of humor at my interaction with them about Carolyn. Well, it turns out they're watching us, and they can't figure out how we pulled this off. So they're not walking up and shaking our hand. They are looking. And so because they're using their eye, they can't tell whether we're what we are. Are these holograms? Or how are they pulling all this stuff off like this? How are they pulling, getting away with it? So they didn't know whether I was real. So they got into a position to have me interact with them, and then they decided that I was real. And now I have to go. I'm going somewhere next couple of days. For 4 days, I suddenly have to go there. And Ian, of course, tells me how the 14 groups are going to interact with me there. I now know what they're going to do, how they're going to create little scenes to find out if I'm real.
Do you think anyone from the 418 group tunes into the show sometimes?
Oh, yeah. No, we're well monitored. They are concerned because we're pushing the whole idea of enlightenment or hierarchy of consciousness beyond what anybody can accept in the old ways. That's why it's good just to come in and not know anything and then tune into the present. They know, and we got parallel worlds, like those weird noises that were being made tonight. I couldn't find the phone that was making them, you know, the little red marker, and then I know who's doing it, and I mute it. I couldn't mute those loud sounds. And I said, that's from another dimension, another world. And I think said, yes. The first time it happened was in the first rewrite with the second group. There was this ridiculous noise going through the first couple hours, and Ian said, well, you had a new situation here. You have someone from another world listening to the rewrite, the first rewrite of the second group.
What did it sound like?
Someone bashing and washing dishes and bashing plates and that. That's what it sounds like to me. They're doing something in the kitchen.
When you're talking sometimes, like just a few minutes ago when you were talking about the 418 group or when you were mentioning something about what Ian was saying, your voice becomes a little, it sounds a bit techy or mechanical, and it just vibrates.
Oh, really? No, I don't hear that at all.
It's like your voice going,
like a digital distortion. It like repeats.
You've heard this before. When you hear the recording, if you go back and hear the show, you will hear this distortion.
No, this is the first time, tonight.
Oh, first time. That's a good sign that we've got something new happening. Post-Armageddon, post-victory.